Hey, of course, it's me. I don't know what else I can say. It's Bob Saget. Bob Saget's here for you. That's all my branding. And this is a podcast that I'm loving more every time I do it. And I have a guest today that makes me love it even more. She's really, really, really special. And her podcast is called Unqualified, and she couldn't be more qualified. It's Anna Faris, and she is so sweet. And I met her when she was in her early 20s, and I guess I was in my early 40s, I think. And that's how we met, and we had a mutual friend, and she's just a very sweet person from the very beginning. And it is a very special podcast today. You got to do the things you always do. Look up to the top of the menu there, and you can subscribe and rate and review, or you can follow however you go about your podcast. And rate and review, always positive, like a Michelin guide, 5 stars, you know, that's what you do. I think you can brainwash anybody at this point, so I'm trying to get you to give me good ratings, because anybody can do that, right? You can come up with anything. Oh, yeah, just give me great, my ratings are better, I'll just tell you that. So, so rate me good. And the other thing is, there's a phone number up there that you can call, and there's an episode coming up soon where I'm actually going to be seeing the people. As well, I'm going to be calling you guys back. You leave your name and your number. And on some episodes, I'll tell you on Twitter and Instagram stories whether you leave your name, number, and email. And then I will be wanting to see you on a Zoom just like this, as well as hear you. And most people, I think, hear these and don't look at the YouTube page that exists, that youtube.com/Bob Saget. It's really, really bad to say your own name and promote your own crap, but that's how you get people to see it, I guess, or find out it exists. So that's my intention. It's not self-promotional because I don't have that many YouTube people. I go on YouTube. I started YouTube. Should own something. America's Funniest Home Videos, pre-YouTube. Get hit in the nuts. I was the guy. There was no YouTube, right? Anyway, there was U2. Those were your nuts. U2, that's what I called them because I talked to them. I addressed them. I put stamps on them and I address them, but now with the mail so slow, it takes weeks for my nuts to get anywhere. All right. Well, I let me think of a graceful segue to take you into somebody who is just so sweet and so amazing on the show, Mom. So amazing since she started her career in many, many things, including all the scary movies. She's just, I don't know, she's a doll. Her podcast, Unqualified, has been on for a really long time. She is so good and makes me feel so comfortable to talk to her. And she's inspiring to me. So here comes Anna Faris. How's it going?
Good. You know, when I ask that question to people that are on my podcast, I always think that we kind of don't, there isn't enough summation in the, you know, it's I don't know, like that. It's all things. It's like I put on makeup today for you, Bob. Actually,
Thank you. Also because I comb my hair. Yeah, I had a whole Harrison Ford thing going.
Oh, good. I would have liked to have seen that.
I should have. It was all spiked and thinning and all that, so I did my little flattening.
I don't know, there's like these moments of extreme, I don't know if extreme tranquility is quite right, but, there's a relief that I feel guilty about of this feeling, of almost a recalibrating my ambition, I guess, to some degree. I don't know if I've quite, it's been a relief to think about things that aren't quite as material, I guess.
Yes.
I have like, well, especially, you know, pre-COVID, I love to shop online. I like to buy nice things, you know, whatever. And I don't have, I don't know, which has been a relief to think, what are my needs? I love that, like, what are my base needs? And so I like thinking about that. I'm sorry, Bob, I'm not articulating myself very well.
No, you are. I'm buying clothes on Amazon. I'm buying sweatpants on Amazon and I'm excited about getting them.
Yeah.
They're extra long for me. I never had the time to really pick the perfect length.
I like the idea, and I'm not great at it, of the idea, is this the time to really live in the present? And I'm not great at that whole concept at all. I think, because, you know, we're always thinking about the past, whatever. Where we're going to get our next paycheck, or how are we, especially in our industry, but in all industries, how do we, the way we think about the future has shifted for me. And I think it has for probably a lot of people, don't you think?
Priorities, a lot of priorities.
Yeah.
And I know you do your podcast Unqualified for the same reason I do mine. It's not like, oh, that person's in quarantine, so they're a person that's acting on a sitcom that can't, or a movie that can't go back to work, so they're doing it. But you do it out of the genuineness of wanting to do it. And
thanks, Bob. Yeah, although I will say that during this time, actually, it's been trickier to do. It's been easier in the sense that it's not like when I first started out with the podcast, Bob, a guest would come over to my house. We would have dinner, a shit ton of wine. Like, we would do the podcast. It was just like a fun mess, though, a fun fucked up mess. And they would hang out for hours afterwards. But it's been nice to attempt to shape it into something that feels a little more intimate. I think by circumstance, we kind of have to do that, which I think the Zoom, in a way, doing it almost creates it. Maybe it's the insulation environment. I think it does create a lot of times my guests, I think when I would interview them in person, would feel the need to do a performance.
It's more of a show.
Because I would too, though. Well, everything feels frivolous, especially when we're talking about I don't mean to say this flippantly because there's a lot more to it, but when we're talking about our industry, and I think how not only are we privileged, but I think people like you and I also feel the guilt of I find it hard to talk about my own career concerns or my bouts of anxiety and loneliness because it feels a little gross and inappropriate. At the same time, you know, I am striving for intimacy, and I want to be as open as I can be without damaging all my relationships.
Right. I have to tell you, and last time I talked to you was on your podcast, but you seem, with the insanity in the world, you seem to be in a better place today.
Oh, thank you.
So I don't know if it's because you're processing what I'm processing. And, you know, I'm having real trouble. It's going to be a while. And I didn't know him processing Chadwick Boseman. It's so interesting because it has nothing to do with any of this racial tension, hatred, but all sides at each other instead of people learning to, let's get through this and get past this, which we're not there at all. But his loss, what a hero. To keep your suffering private, to have the dignity. Everything he projected was just example of humanity.
I'm with you. It's making me a little choked up to think about it. I didn't know him either. But the idea that I think it was such a reminder of mortality and I'm 43. I mean, not to instantly self-reflect on, but I think the idea of in these fragile times that our superhero are, you know, or this, you know, I'm sure he seems like an incredible man, and to have his passing, it's another reminder of how fragile things, how brittle things feel right now, and in the best of ways, I think, for me, all of the events of the last 6 months have made me really, not that I have yet, but really want to prioritize.
Right. No, you have. You have. The fact that you're saying it means that you are. I mean, all we can do is work on it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in such a narcissistic business. We choose it because we have that gene, but you've always had nothing but, besides being talented as hell, you've always had that empathy, and that sweetness always came through in all of your roles, everything you've ever done, and you really can't fake it. At a certain point, a person, you can't, you know, and if you can fake sincerity, you know, but you don't fake it. You never have. I mean, I met you when you were like 21 or something, and I didn't do anything wrong. There was no restraining order.
Rats!
Darn it! We could have had some lost weekends.
Oh, man!
But the truth is, I mean, I'm watching the news today, and if I hate, then I'm feeding the hate.
Oh, completely. And it's exhausting, too. Yeah,
it's been exhausting. I'll have nights where I'll watch the news, and then I have friends that don't necessarily reflect my views, but I still love them if they're not insane, you know. But I mean, I just fall on, you know, people go Hollywood types. They are just all about love and all about, it's like, okay, you know, but there's some people that aren't you that are still doing podcasts right now, and they're just talking about their careers,
right?
And themselves, which is kind of refreshing sometimes to not talk about all this, because you can get this anywhere with all the pain we're in.
Well, I also don't know, you know, how qualified. I think with when George Floyd, you know, there were obviously a lot of people in our industry who I have a contentious relationship with social media in general.
Yeah.
I came onto it late, and I begrudgingly, and I don't enjoy it. I don't obsessively, I don't look, not just even obsessively, I just don't really, I don't want to, I found myself, I think early on when I joined, like looking at the likes and then feeling, I was telling somebody the other day that I have a similar feeling when I look through a women's magazine a little bit afterwards.
Me too.
There's a feeling of deflation, though,
right?
Because of the comparison element that is inevitable.
It's like reading reviews all day long.
It feels to me, it feels a little bit like a watered down format. What do you think about?
Well, I think it's the same thing. But sometimes it's helpful. Like if I'm trying to get a message out, I mean, I want everybody to vote. I want to see, I personally would like to see change, obviously. But I know a lot of people that want what they want in November. And I just want things to be fair and honest, and they're not. And I can't be lied to anymore. I'm exhausted. I can't even be lied to by a clerk or on a phone. I was on hold with the DMV the other day for 3 hours. They told me they were going to pick up. They never did. They lied to me. I can't take any more. I'm done. Done with lying. And this post office thing drove me insane. So that's where I go, okay, Norman Lear put out a great video. So I can put that out and put my stamp. Oh, wow. A mail pun of approval on it. And so that's how social media can, as an influencer, I guess, can do something.
Yes.
But then it's almost like texting someone and having a texting argument with them. It leads nowhere. It just, especially if it escalates, unless it's a love fest, then it's just fun. Then you got emojis going. But, you know, if you're sending a bitmoji of talk to the hand, I hate you, That's like,
stop
that's
what it. That means.
That yeah, talk to the hand is you're. I don't want to talk to you.
Shit.
You've been sending the wrong signals.
I think I've been receiving them.
Oh no! Well, not no. For me.
Yeah. No. I think it's I think the next interesting social experiment with in terms of connection will be what platform can create the idea of safe intimacy. I
think it's just a walkie-talkie. I don't think we can do anything because they've got our phone numbers. They can get anything. You know, don't text it. Don't text. They can read your. They can. If you text something, they can get you. You know,
Bob. I'm under the assumption that all the time, it's just on all the time. My every movement is some core tech. Like, I don't know, intern is like tracking. I don't know, Bob. I know so little. I'm looking at my phone in paranoia as I say.
Are you on Citizen? Are you on that app?
What's that?
Citizen. Oh no, I shouldn't have told you. It's an app that tells you Citizens, and it's an app that tells you what's wrong in your neighborhood and what's going wrong in the city and where the fires. I got it for the fires. But then it tells you where the riots are. It tells you where protests are. It tells you where COVID cases are increasing. So if you have it on a notification, you click a little thing and the little yellow square, you push it and it'll say at Swarthmore and Sunset, man with stick.
It's how like, did you get this?
It's just an app, Citizen. It's right on your phone. I'm doing a commercial for them. I don't even know. You don't pay for it. And then it tells you all your other friends. Don't add people on there because then they'll know where you are. And it's just, it's creepy, but I find it essential just because of the fires. That's why I got it, just to make sure that I'm out of the building if I have to evacuate.
Bob, do you find that like a lot of, I don't know, maybe a lot of people in our industry were sort of natural introverts. Because we spend a lot of time, playing our extrovert persona or whatever. And I don't love the sort of the black and whiteness of those terms because I think that everyone's on that spectrum of needing whatever, both items of attention and then items of sort of aloneness, items. But do you think, has this been comfortable for you in terms of being a more solitary? Were you solitary before?
Kind of. I'm not like a big shopper. And my wife, Kelly, is pretty amazing. And she's a cooking person. She's actually not an influencer. She has a production company that where she has Eat Travel Rock and it takes you around the world and shows you good restaurants and stuff like that. But now she's been doing COVID pieces on how to get back and be able to go out even to California coast just to be able to do something that's safe and distanced. And it's just starting. It's not there yet, but she was able to find the right stuff because she's smart. But I like being home. And I've had some social distance friends come over, which is fun. Have you been doing that?
Not really. We've seen my folks and we've seen Michael, my partner's folks. They are both immune compromised. Like we've got some health issues and stuff. I also find it really uncomfortable to be masked, to have, the elephant in the room with it. To me, Bob, it feels...
You're not talking politically with elephant in the room, right? That elephant does not have a mask on.
But Bob, I was thinking last night, I sometimes stay awake thinking about how, like, it's been very difficult to gauge how anxious we should be. because we have this divisiveness and all kinds of mixed messages and a lack of trust in our government who controls the CDC and the FDA or whatever. So there's all this trickle down, like, it, to me, it feels like this is this looming cloud of Russian roulette with this virus.
That's well put too.
That it feels, I mean, it feels like, I can't help but think, are we tired now of dealing with it? And we think we can manage it because we have to move on to make money or whatever. But I think my trust level has been so broken down that I feel like we're behaving very arrogantly with this.
Some people are being absolutely insane, people that don't believe in science and people that are manipulating it because it's real. It's just real. And so anybody that doesn't think that is just wrong. But I also understand that we need to get back. So I did it. I've done a couple TV shows and they get COVID tested every day. No one's near each other. And it was fun. It was fun to do them. But it's strange. I mean, they're really working hard. They're very, very strict. And we're lucky. We're lucky that can happen. I mean, I can't go out and tour the country and do stand up. You know, I'm not getting on a plane. I just don't want to. I don't want to get nothing. But it would be fun for you to do it. I found it to be an interesting distraction. And then I come home and watch the news, and then you have trouble the next day doing your work because you're so upset and you didn't sleep. You know what? Let's take a quick break. It'll just be quick. You know how quick they are. I'm much happier at this age than, like, people always ask, I'm sure they've asked you, if you could talk to your younger self, what would you say to your 20-year-old? I get that asked a lot. And I go, I don't know, listen better. But what I've done more, I think, is understand that I actually am as good a person as I was taught to be by my parents. You know, be a good person. Don't do this. Don't do that. And then my mother said, don't say that. So that put me up on stage cursing, you know. And then my father would tell me dirty stuff. But then I wanted to be the family guy. So I have a very bipolar career because of it. Because I am not bipolar. I don't think there's a diagnosis for me. But I mean, with you, are your parents still up in Washington?
Yeah, they're still up in Washington. I think they're actually going to come and stay with us for a little bit.
That's nice.
Yes, yeah, it is nice. I mean, you know, they wake up really early and they are ready to engage in conversation at 5 a.m.
What is that? Are they going fishing? What do they do?
They just get up really early all the time. But they're great. They're incredibly supportive. They're incredibly, I mean, to the point where I have an older brother, and I think that they were like, they were hard on him in terms of, they were worried about his career ambitions and, you know, if he was going to do well, if he was going to be able to make a living in life. So I remember them, putting a lot of pressure on him to have a practical career. He's now a professor. But with me, it was, they were like, you should act. And in fact, when I told them in college that I didn't want to pursue acting anymore because I never thought I would make it, I never thought, well, it just felt like a silly dream. And I'm really glad that I had that mentality.
Were you doing it all through high school? Were you acting in plays?
Yeah, and outside of high school, so which gave me a different identity that was much more important to me. Acting with, there's a big theater community in Seattle, so I would do a lot of plays, and I loved being around the adult actors, and it felt like school was I mean, to like every kid, it's a chore, but to me, it felt like truly just doing time. Like that my identity was elsewhere. And, but when I decided to quit in college, I remember them being a little disappointed. They didn't pressure me, but I remember them being disappointed. And then in turn, when I, my senior year, I booked a movie called Lover's Lane. I think we talked about Lover's Lane.
We did.
And that was my parents, once again, when I said, I think I might move to Los Angeles and try acting. And I remember them being like, okay, great. You know, bye.
That's rare. You know that? That's rare. My parents too. My parents, I went to film school and I won a student Academy Award. The Academy flew me out when I was 20 for a documentary I made. And so my mother thought I was like, you know, the second coming. And she was like, oh, anything, Bobby, you can do anything. You're amazing. And then I would start doing stand up and she'd go, why are you talking like that? She sounded like, you know, Mickey Mouse. But my parents were both, what I wanted to bring up, well, let's stay on your parents for a minute, because I had a thing about my dad and what he went through. But so they have been going through this Seattle stuff and they've been watching this. So how have they been dealing?
Well, it's funny. I get the feeling, because we bought a used camper van, Bob, and we drove up and we saw them, but it's actually broken down now for the third time.
Do you need somebody to come over? I know some mechanics that are mobile.
Well, somebody came over and they hauled it away after we got like 3 parking tickets on the street. But I think that, you know, I think that my mom is probably, I mean, in terms of COVID, she's a hoarder. She's been prepping for this. She's a great cook. They stay at home pretty much all the time anyway. But I think that, you know, it's interesting. It felt like the climate in Seattle, it was almost like I was much more inquisitive about sort of the turmoil there than they were. They were like, well, I'm not quite sure what's going on with Chap or Chop or whatever it was. And then I spoke with another friend and it seemed like what I heard from only a couple people up there was that they felt like Fox News was very, or that you know, certain media outlets were definitely amplifying.
How could that be? They don't, what? They're not known for that. There are some things I go to that makes sense, but I don't like fear tactics. I just don't like it. So your parents didn't think people were coming to their suburbs?
No.
Like Sasquatches coming in. Have they seen Sasquatch? I mean, they're up there.
Oh yeah, they are. Yeah. No, I think there's one in the ravine.
Oh, I'd love, can they get any pictures? I'd love it.
Easy. Yeah, I'll send them to you. But hey, Bob, wait, I want to hear about your father, but I did want to ask you before I forget. How, I think we talked about your experience podcasting before, but I was going to ask you, do you find it, is there must be a difference when you talk with other podcast hosts as opposed to celebrities? Because I noticed that. What do you notice about that?
Well, first thing, this is a delight talking to you.
It's a delight talking to you.
Oh, see, we would be hugging if we were, you know, yeah. But at a, you know, safely, it wouldn't be too long a hug. It would be appropriate. Neither of our people would be concerned. I love conversations, and I know you do too. And especially now, I'm loving it because I don't feel as alone, and I know that people aren't feeling as alone. So when I talk to someone that does it all the time, which isn't all the time, I had Bill Maher on recently, and he had just done his show, and he was coming off of that, but he was still very open, and people have all kinds of opinions about everybody. I mean, my God. But the people that you have conversations with, and I call people, you talk to people, actual not celebrity type people, and that's refreshing also to be there for people. But when you talk to a podcast host, there's just a, you go right into convo. You just go right into it. Yeah. There isn't any, and I find myself wanting to listen more. You don't feel like you have to help the other person assimilate their thoughts or.
No,
everybody's got a podcast though. It's insane.
But it is interesting to talk to, like there can only be sort of loose categorizations with like, there are only sort of some vague patterns I can put together in terms of like when I talk to a stand-up, when I talk to a podcast host, when I talk to, you know, a younger actor in their 20s, or, you know, for me, I love talking to podcast hosts because of the same thing that there's, I think that a lot of times, especially people who haven't done a lot of podcasts, we as actors have a, you know, our defenses can be so high of like, what am I going to be trapped into saying? What's, will there be clickbait? Will there, like, am I going to, you know, fuck myself on by some, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah. And if you had a problem or I had a problem, the advantage with having your own podcast is you could say to me, I felt uncomfortable with that. And I'll go, right. No one will hear the edit.
Right.
In fact, I'll cut that out.
But I think that that's, which is something that, you know, I never want to be, I don't have an agenda with, in terms of getting a particular information out of somebody. Because usually I just have no idea what it is anyway.
That's what's so genuine about it. That's why you're so great at it. Yeah. I mean, and you also have delightful people like, you know, Kenan Thompson is just a sweetheart. He's love. And you had Seth Rogen, and he could basically do pretty much anything that exists in the arts and beyond.
Yeah.
And in a head shop, if they still existed, but you know, he's very good with glassware and vaping, but he is. Did you see An American Pickle?
No, and I feel really embarrassed because we did the podcast. Although I don't think they sent us the link for it. But is it great?
It's a joy. I wanted it to be longer. I wanted to delve more. He did a amazing thing. You know, people have done this before where Nick Cage did it, where you play two characters, and we've seen it, and he's so special. He's just so wonderful and such a meticulous professional and loves his pot so much. And some people, I couldn't smoke and be able to be as spot on as him, but he's so comfortable with who he is that it's just a little added accoutrement tool for him. But he must have been a very easy conversation.
Yes, and we had known each other for a while. I'm trying to think of, you know, I'm doing Paris Hilton on Tuesday.
When you say that, you mean on the podcast.
You don't know. You don't know what I mean.
Oh, my grandmother. I'm watching the YouTube of that one.
But so I think, you know, and my prep, like I attempt to tailor things, you know, I'm sure you do too, you start to think about like, what is a good angle with getting authentic feelings, authentic conversation out of somebody. And that is, that can be tricky. Sometimes it is like, you know, you're sailing upwind, you got to tack. I don't know how to sail. It feels like that's an appropriate analogy.
It is because you go on a wave for a while and then there's nothing.
Or you realize you inadvertently stepped into sticky territory without you know, like, oh, I that person just got visibly uncomfortable,
or why did I say that? I am an idiot. And then you're like Chris Farley, may he rest in peace, why did I do that? I'm so stupid. You know, the Chris Farley show. You're Paul McCartney. Yes. You know,
good, wasn't it?
What a gem. Anyway, so let me just take one more quick break and then we'll come back. And
okay, I'm going to use the restroom again, if you don't mind.
Oh, this is awesome. These are the best pee breaks ever.
Oh, Bob, what have been like the top two visual experiences of your life? I mean, wait, but separate family.
Yeah, because birth like, of a child, you would say, but that's not visually gorgeous. I mean, it's a miracle.
No, but it is crazy.
It is it's something.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I've cut cords before.
Yeah. It was a lot of intensity in those moments.
Oh, man. Sometimes I'll go into random rooms in maternity and just cut other people's cords.
Yeah.
Because I love it. I love being there.
Bob Saget!
Bob's the go-to cord guy.
Well, here's what I was thinking about.
I have a couple career ones.
Well, I didn't want to lead. I was thinking about, and I look back with a lot of gratitude and nostalgia when I think about, you know, like our family trips to Italy or the amazing things that I've had the great fortune to experience. And I was thinking, let's say that maybe those trips don't happen again. Am I okay? Just whether it's for financial, practical, COVID, whatever it is.
They will happen again, by the way. They will. I promise. Well,
but I have, there's a high degree of comfort that I can look back at those and feel like, man, I got to experience those things once in my life.
I have one.
Okay, good.
No, go ahead. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No. But like one of them for me would be in Cortina in the mountains of Italy. They have these gondolas, you know, they go incredibly high. And there's the very top, you take three of them up to this ridge. And you're just staring at this sea of peaks that are, the Dolomites have this pink hue to them. And these massive, like the, you know, granite and whatever makes them pink as well. And it's just miles of mountaintop. And it's interesting, there are other tourists up there and people are quiet because it is just so astounding to get the privilege to witness that with our own eyeballs.
Yeah.
Something like that. Does that sound a little stony? I promise.
No, it sounds exactly. I'm in the same mindset, so I don't know. Maybe I vaped. I don't remember. But I have one more that happened recently. The last trip we took, which was with my kids and old friends that they grew up with, these kids as well, close friends, and Kelly. And their mom and their dad had passed away. So it was like our first family vacation that used to be like when they were young, when I was married to my first wife and single, we would be with these kids. And we went to Cabo and we stayed at the Palmia, which is a nice place. And everything was very expensive and we were complaining. Because that's what, you know.
That's what you have to do there.
That's what you do. So you complain. Expensive. Is that oyster bad? You know, just annoying. Uh-huh. So, and dinner on New Year's Eve was so expensive. And we complained and complained and complained. I love when the universe plays a supreme joke on you that teaches you a lesson. Like, why are you complaining, you foolish moron? And mm-hmm. But dinner was like really, really expensive for everybody, for all the kids and everything. Their kids, they're in their 20s and 30s. And then they said the party of the year is going to happen. So you have to, and they had high security, crazy security for the party of the year. And we go there and we're complaining. And we go to this party and it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And we laughed so hard. And what they did was, I mean, it was gorgeous. They had monoliths of things they'd brought in. They had an amazing DJ. And then they put on soundproof headphones on everybody and they turned off all the monitors, but it was loud in your headphones. So everyone's dancing.
What?
And if you're watching it, you see people dancing. It was like watching not reality. It was like watching the future.
So cool.
Everybody's dancing, but you don't hear a thing. but it's blasting in your headphones. Everybody's on these amazing, I know people have done it that are listening, but it was, and I'm smoking a cigar and we're drinking tequila.
So it's like, this was all fucking worth it. This is magical.
It's like, oh my God, it is the party of the year. Boy, am I an asshole. It was so much. I danced for hours. I'm not that guy. And then my daughter said, hey, Dad, want another shot of tequila? You know, it's like, you know, it's
That's
not.
Amazing.
They enabled me.
That's incredible.
What did you have something like that? Did you, what was your New Year's before all this insanity?
Oh,
dropped?
I'm never a New Year's fan.
Right.
It's, it's like, you know, it's the night of high expectation. It feels like your birthday. It's like.
Yeah.
My, like, but I also, I don't know. I'm trying to think of I don't think I've ever had much of an eventful New Year's. But I do like, I want to think of a good counterexample to something where, I don't know, the idea of the universe sort of playing a joke a little bit on you.
Right. Or it living beyond your expectations or like.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's when you're sideswiped that it's so cool.
Yes, in a positive way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're all getting sideswiped now. But was it a trip, vacation, or
well,
was it?
You know, just recently we went camping up on Orcas or on San Juan Island, which is up in Washington, and we've been, like I said, we've been trying to really quarantine really strictly, but. The orca, I wish I could show you this video. There's a lot of orca up there, and they were right. I mean, they must have been 20 feet away, like offshore. And they just, it was because the boats, like the whale watching boats, they have to stay with like 200 yards out. Anyway, they were so close, and it was so majestic. And it was like one of those days that are where the sun, like that you'll kind of only get up in the Pacific Northwest, like, well, at least for me. Where the sun, everything feels so sharp. The water is glistening. The trees are incredibly green. Like the sky is ridiculously blue. The mountains are snow-capped.
And it's real. It's not like you took mushrooms or something.
Right, right. It's the vividness.
Yeah.
Of clean air, maybe.
Yeah, and also I guess your mind's on receive, and so you're able to take it all in, and it is. Breathtaking how beautiful the world is.
I'm really thankful to my parents we would go hiking every weekend. We would, you know, and which is a great way to have to actually kind of be forced to engage with your parents, which I now can realize. Michael, my partner, has two teenagers and I have an 8-year-old now, but like, how do you get them to engage? And I realized that it, like, hiking was pretty, I mean, there's nothing to do. But my dad would have us appreciate the silence.
Oh, I love you, Dad.
My mom would point out the different tree. You know, like, I think that has, the appreciation of nature that they instilled in me, I think has been really helpful in finding a sense of myself a little bit, not that I have much of it, in this industry in particular, I think.
Well, I respect the hell out of that. I'm not really a camping guy. I've done it.
Yeah. You need a bed.
I do. I rented
I need a bed.
I rented a big old trailer that was brand new, actually. And I drove to Death Valley with my three daughters years ago when they were little, when they were like 5, 8, and 11, something like that. And I stocked it up with all their stuffed animals, and I had all the microwavable food, and it had a retractable sidearm that made the thing bigger. And I drove to Death Valley, but I wouldn't stay in the trailer parks. I would stay in, like, you know, yeah. Places you're not supposed to stay, like monument parking lots. And then in the morning, I'd wake up and the rangers would come and say, you have to leave. And I'd be in a robe cooking turkey bacon. And, you know, and tourists are coming in to see it. And I'm not supposed to be there, but it was really funny. And then we returned the trailer with no propane, We never emptied the septic. No water. I basically returned it as a Band-Aid box. But the kids will always remember it. They'll go, Dad, what were you thinking?
Yeah, but they will. That's amazing. That's amazing. I think we I don't know. We look for those moments.
Have you had nighttime experiences camping with animals that scared you, that kind of thing?
No. The result of having an older brother, but I kind of pride myself in not having irrational fear. I don't know if this is exactly linked to what you're suggesting. And it's not that I think that bad things won't happen to me. I do think that, but I don't, I think I always bristled at the idea of being, to me, it fell into like, when people get, you know, squeal about spiders or bees or whatever, I actively work against those impulses.
Right.
To me, it fits into, as I would watch my friends do that, like, or whatever, like growing up, it was so important for me to be in control. Not necessarily tough, but in control, and not letting what I perceived as an irrational fear, whether it was or not, just in all kinds of things with life. I'm really lucky because it led to some foolish moves later on. Lots of weird stranger, you know, encounters where, anyway, but that's a whole other story. So I don't know that, I know that's I pulled a thread that maybe didn't go anywhere, but.
Well, it kind of did.
Well, I was very upset having been born a girl.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
To what age?
43.
So you still want to be a guy?
No, it's, I don't. But
you know, it's never too late.
I think I could not wrap my head around what I felt was the injustice. And my aunt, who was religious, gave me a Bible, I think on my 9th birthday. And I picked it up out of curiosity. And I started, I maybe got through page 1 of Genesis. It was a children's Bible. But, and I just thought, oh no, I don't know if I can handle this. The idea that God created man and woman, and yet we are inherently, we're being punished for being the weaker sex, for this apple thing. I don't know.
Well, you're a rib, apparently. That's the weirdest.
Yeah.
That's not good. I mean, here, we created this thing, and now you get to be a bone.
I hated falling into the idea of, right, I hated the idea that of being the weaker sex. So I.
It's understandable. Jeez.
So if it, anyway, point being, if there was
but you're
like.
Not, you're not, you know, you're not.
Well, but I subscribe to, I'm sort of, I like the idea of individualism. I have a tough time with categories in general.
Me too.
But yeah, I think that they tend to lead to underestimation. But anyway, if there was a bear outside the tent, I would be in the camper van anyway.
And just send out one of the kids?
Yeah. No. Isn't this exciting? So I don't know. Have you had a scary animal encounter? Now I want one.
I'm trying to think. I went on a trip to Africa years ago, and there were bats in one of the rooms. And we don't like them, especially now. They're not very popular. And yeah. So that was scary, just trying to get rid of the bats.
The large, like, fruit?
No, it wasn't those new ones that came out that are 6 feet tall. Did you see the pictures of those?
No.
I don't think anything's real. I think everything has become what used to be called the National Enquirer. Or the Star Examiner and everything. We are in such crazy people beliefs. I've had enough of it. Just nut jobs. Everybody's got a voice. And you're supposed to, but my God, it's nuts. I mean, it's so obviously nuts.
It feels like the landscape is quicksand. And who do you trust? I've also been proud that I tend to not, especially for somebody in our industry, I tend to be pretty trustworthy trusting. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist at all. It's not like I've changed, but the lack of trust that seems not being able to count on a trustworthy source of a reliable source of information is during.
I think we all have it. We all have it. No matter what you believe, everyone has a lack of trust right now and fear, and people are living in fear. But if someone's telling me, hey, vote for me because the opponent eats babies, I was like, well, really? Okay. And you're saying this because your brain is in your anus? That's how you're made? What are you saying? I don't know people that eat people. I don't know them.
And I don't know.
Have you ever met a cannibal? I've never met one. I meet a lot of people. I don't meet people that eat people.
Well, they probably don't talk about it, Bob. Oh,
you know what? You're probably right. It's a secret society.
Yeah.
And they have a decoder ring and a handshake.
Of course. They meet up at like 2:48 a.m. I don't know, Bob. I don't know.
We've got to solve all this, and you can do it. We can do it just by being positive.
Me? Oh, me?
Yeah.
I'm tasked with the...
You're putting out something. No, I'm not putting the responsibility on. Oh, my God.
No, I don't mind. I just didn't know. I should get to work, Bob.
I had you on the list. You were third. The first is Eckhart Tolle, and then, but nobody wants to subscribe, but I mean, some people. All I was going to say was, I'm going to let you go because I want you to have a life today. But you have such a positiveness and sweetness, and what you do on your podcast is a gift for people, and you should be really be proud of yourself, and don't stop doing it. It's really. People need a connection, and it gives, and that's why I love this. It gives me a connection. I know it gives you a connection.
Thank you for saying that. There have been a few times during this whole experience where I have felt, where I have my enthusiasm has waned with my podcast because there were times when I just felt like I didn't know what to say. There were times, and I still feel a bit like that. But I do love the idea of attempting to, create a community, or at least have, that sounds lofty and broad and an impossibility, but I do take comfort in especially now that we took a break from doing the callers for a little while, and right. Now we've revamped the project a bit, and now we have them again, and that's been really rewarding to talk to people about their lives, and so it's but it's not without saying that after I think I don't know 4 or 5 years we've been podcasting. That has it been that long? I think it may have been.
What episode are you on?
I think 280 maybe.
Oh my grandmother, you're amazing. I'm barely hitting 50.
Listen, there's a solid 243 of them are not great. but thank you for saying that because
it's real.
It's been I'm really proud that people are fans and listening.
Well, just saying you're unqualified, and that automatically draws people in because it's human, and I don't know anything. I'm interested, and I enjoy, you know, I do research, but I'm not doing an interview per se. It's a conversation. So I'll try to see somebody's film. I do recommend An American Pickle. You will.
Okay,
you will.
Great. I want to see that today.
I mean, he's, you know, to fall in pickle juice and be in suspense. And he's kind of playing Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof, which obviously brings in billions of people on the earth. He's just a brave dude. I just, you know. But so are you. You're so brave.
Thanks. So are you, Bob.
Thanks. I'm trying. He's just wearing our emotions, you know.
I can't thank you enough.
Thanks for doing this. It's so sweet to talk to you. You kind of made my day.
You made mine too, truly.
It really felt sweet. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. I so appreciate it. Bye.
Me too. Be well. Don't watch the news.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, Bob.
Bye-bye. Anna Faris. She is impossible not to adore. It's really interesting. I feel so comfortable talking to her, and that's when she was talking about how a podcast, you like interviewing a podcast host. It's not interviewing. I don't know why we call it that, but it's a conversation with. And I've done a lot of hosting over the years, and I've always talked to people. They always teach you, look into the lens, go to the back of the lens. That's your friend. And that's how I look at this. I feel like I'm talking to people that are my friend. That's my facility. And she has that so much. And so she's inspiring to me because she's always herself. I also love the idea that she goes camping. I could have saved so much money. Oh, what the heck was I thinking? She's just a doll. And I'm really thankful that she did this podcast. So thank you guys. And what you do is a normal thing. You go up in the top there and you rate, review, subscribe. You could follow if that's where you're getting it. You could do whatever, but be positive. Let's try to be positive. Everything is so negative these days. Just like me. That's good. That's the opposite of Sally Field. It's not like you really like me. It's like, hey, fucking like me. Okay. So I'm sending you all my best. Call the number up top if you want to talk to me sometime, and I'll be calling you guys. I'll let you know on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you. Please stay well. Please stay safe. Try to put love out in the world a little bit. Try not to let all this stuff destroy you as it does all of us as we get angry over stuff. I'm not saying don't care, but I'm saying vote. Vote's a good thing to say. I see nothing wrong with saying vote. It's just a word. And I mean it. And I think I'm going to take my ballot and just drop it into someone's hand personally. Just do a drive-by on voting day. I don't know if a mailbox is going to work. I'm worried. I found like 90 mailboxes in my backyard. I actually was sleepwalking and stealing mailboxes. I'm one of the problems. So I apologize. And I put them all back. Okay, that premise worked great. Guys, take care of yourselves. Be well. Be safe. And try to stay, I don't know, as happy as you can. Or maybe phrase it, try to stay as least angry as you can. And try not to take things as personally if you can. But when there's injustice, you got to speak your mind. Whatever helps you sleep at night, whatever helps you feel better, and just do what I'm doing, which is appreciate the people that you love, because at the end of the day, that's what you got, and it's a pretty good end of the day if you have people that love you. And if people don't love you, a friend of mine said, go to where the love is. So that's where I'm going. So thank you guys, and have a good one.